Come on, recite your ghazal.
No, she has to.
I have a question. How did you find out about Bob?
How did I find
out? His cousin is
male. Same old story, I have to repeat and repeat and repeat.
Oh, poor girl.
No, we'll think of another story then.
Make up one.
How can I? I'm not glad that imaginative.
That's what
money can do, you know.
Wow.
She can quickly make up a story. I didn't have to find out about Baba. I think Baba found me. Because since childhood I've known Baba. Because my parents knew Baba. In those days, I'm talking of 1922, 23, maybe even earlier than that. I was about 6 years old. And Baba had come then to our house, that is north of India, with some of the Mandli. I think a whole group from the Manjilani that time. And Baba went walking from Bombay, not to. And Baba was talking then, but I don't remember it. I was too young to remember it. Or maybe I didn't pay much importance to this talk.
Do you remember seeing him when
you were young? Yes, I remember seeing him. I remember that the food used to be, plain dal and rice used to be prepared at our house, but my parents had rented an apartment just next, attached to our apartment. So Baba and the Manli used to stay there. The food used to be prepared in our house. I don't know how many there were, maybe 20, 25 people. And the food would go over to the other house. And Baba himself would serve the food to everyone. Mm-hmm. And I remember we used to go with half plate also to Baba. And Baba would serve the food to us.
His hair was flowing.
Have you seen the other one?
Yeah,
was looking
shorter,
at?
Yes.
So, how old were you when you started?
That was about 6 or 7. Earlier than that, but when Baba was in Manzil Amin, I was about 5, I think, and I remember seeing mother. We came down from Quetta. It's a very long journey by train. And the train stopped at Dadar station. That is where, you know, Baba was with Manjulani. And my mother was dragging all of us, you know, by hand. It was at 4 or 5 o'clock early in the morning, very dark. And we had to cross railway lines to get to the, you know, part of the place where Baba was in Manjulani. And I wanted to piddle, and mother wouldn't let me. You know, she said, no, don't waste time, because if we are a little late, I remember that sentence. You know, if we are a little late, even late by a second, you know, Baba won't see us.
And where,
I remember that incident. No, that was in Bombay. So Baba used to be so strict in those days.
But your mother used to really like Baba.
Yes, maybe they had respect, because Baba was in those days known as the Sadguru, perfect master. Baba didn't declare himself as the avatar then, although he was the avatar, but he had to give it to the people very gradually. And then, and we had many opportunities to meet Baba in between, because my mother belonged to Ahmednagar. She was related to Adi and Sarosh and all these people. And when she married, she went north up to, which is part of Pakistan now, the place Quetta. It is a British military. It was in the time of the British frontier, no? Northwest frontier, it was called. And the British had a very large troop there all the time, you know, because they had to, that was the borderline between Afghanistan and Persia and all that. So they had to safeguard that all the time. And so naturally, when we were 7 in the family, every 2 years a child was born. So then my mother couldn't cope up with so many of us, and she'd send us down here to Ahmednagar, you know, as little kids. So we'd spend the time in Kushal quarters, where Adi's place is, and it was a joint family then, you see. The part where Adi stays, that was his family, like his parents and his brother, who is Mehru's father, Rustam, who died. And so his family stayed in that whole line. Then the line which is where the trust office is, that used to be the place where my mother's sister, she lived with her husband and her family. And that is where we would all stay there. We'd stay. And the other line where Rama, you know, housewife and children and all of them stayed, small one over there, that is where Sarosh stayed and his wife stayed, Sarosh Vilu, and his parents. So they all, it was like a joint family, you see. There was a common kitchen and a whole family of 20, 22, whatever number. It's like, they would all sit at one table. The children would be served food at about, say, very early in the evening, at about 7 o'clock they'd finish. And then the older people would come and eat. So it was all one joint.
Hmm? Baba would be around?
No, not so many times, not so much. Because in those days, Baba used to travel so much. He used to stay in Mehrabad. And some, most of the time, in seclusion. But we had an opportunity whenever Baba visited. He would visit only on Adi's side. Because the other part of the other family, they respected Baba, but Sarosh's father was very much, he couldn't accept Baba either as a saint or a Sadguru or anything. You know? And he would, whenever he learned that Baba had been there, he would create, a row with the people. He'd start by,
did he ever meet Baba?
He must have met, I don't know. That I'm not sure. But sometimes in those days it was very difficult to travel except for a tonga. There was no other conveyance. There was no buses or cars or anything. So we usually go in a tonga, and Gulmai or my aunt, they would go to see Baba at Mehrabad. So sometimes they would take us kids with them. And at night, that old man, Sarosh's father, you know, he was very cunning. So he'd take the children, you know, around and ask them what happened during the day. And one of us would say, well, we went to Mehrabad and we went and we saw Baba. Oh, and he'd flare up and start fighting with everybody. And
it was known as Mehrabad at that time. Hmm? It was known as Mehrabad.
And we used to call it Arangam by the name of the village. I don't know when Baba named it. Maybe in 25. I don't know. Those details I don't know because I was relatively young and not too involved in all that. So later, whenever the other part of the other side of the family ever, if they, you know, they'd warn us now that you're going there. But if the old man asks you, don't mention that you've been to Baba. Or if Baba visited, you know, Sarosh's father, he had no right over Adi's mother. Adi's mother was very staunch and very firm, and she didn't care, and she had to go and see Baba, she'd go. So, of course, he had nothing to say to her, he couldn't do it. So Baba would always visit on her side of the house, you know. And it was a very quick visit. You know, Baba would come quickly like lightning, just see whatever it is and go away.
Would Baba ever spend the night?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe if he has, I don't know.
The 30s or?
Baba?
1930s?
No. 20. Yes. Yes, this was after the silence. Yes. Not 30. 30, I was back in bed. I must be 26, 27. Those years.
30s, Baba was on
the Before, no, because in 19, you see, I was schooling here, some private tutor, some little bit of Gujarati, a little bit of English, my aunt would say, and I don't know how I managed to do all this schooling going between Quetta and Nagar, you see. So at last, I think my mother must have thought it was, I should be put to a real good school. So she sent for me, and then I went to a convent school. back in Quetta. That must be in, I think it was 1928 when I went back. I was about 12 years old then. And I was put to, into a good school. And then, in 1930, just before his first, 30 or 31, I don't remember what year it was, Baba was to start for his first trip to the West from Karachi. And before that, he visited our house again. At that time, Baba came only with three or four men mandli. There was one Chanji amongst them, then there was another one, Rao Sahib. He died recently. And, I think that there was the third person was Gustarji, and then there was a young boy, 15, 16, by the name of Ali or somebody. About four men and Baba. And at that time, Baba lived in our own house. My mother had taken him. But Baba didn't use, never use the bed in those days. He'd always sleep on the floor, a mattress would be spread out for him to sleep on the floor. At that time, Baba had stayed with us almost a month. We used to go to school in the morning and come back late in the evening. And Baba, you know, he would call us to his room and ask us what we did during the day. Sometimes Baba would go to a picture cinema and he'd take us with him, the children. And in the evenings he'd play games with us, either cards or that, you know, that carom game where you strike. Baba was very, you know, like, he'd become our age and play and love us so much, you know. We didn't feel as if Baba was somebody, you know, a stranger, or we felt so much love from him, and he became one like us, and he'd take so much interest. If we went to the girl guides, you know, we had that khaki costume on. So Baba would call us in and he'd say, oh, that looks very smart on you, you know. So he'd take interest in little details like that. Okay, so that is the time when Baba, you see, my father had a very large business. Somebody told me it's not a confectioner, it's called Baker. He was a baker and he had a jewelry shop and clocks and watches. That was his hobby, the clocks and watches and all that. And bar and billiards and what do you call it? Bar is where we drink and all that. Bar, billiards and restaurant and so much. It was a huge concern because in those, because it had a very large British military station. So that is, the British used to come. Because Quetta is a very strict Muslim country, see? Muslim city. And you never saw, except for these Pathan, the Baluchi tribe, men, you never saw their women. The women of the higher status in their community would have these parda clubs, they used to call it. Parda means the veiled club. They used to have, the women used to have a club, but it had a very high wall all round in the compound. And the women would go, my mother used to go, we used to go, but you see, so that nobody from outside could see these women. Mm-hmm. So they used to be out sitting out on the lawn, mm-hmm. playing car, whatever it is, people would do in clubs, the children would go there. Very beautiful women. Huge, tall, lovely complexion, pink cheeks, lovely hair. But these women, none, they never went out shopping. The husbands did their shopping. And their houses would always have two compartments. Or, you see, the things from the stores would be sent to the home. Oh, women yeah. would make their own selection and then return the other thing. Even in the military, you know, there were all these people in the military, the Baluchis. And in their houses, there would be two compartments, like a sitting room for men and a sitting room for the women. The wife of the army officer, she'd receive all the women, whether they were British women or women of the Pathan community. It was so strict, we never saw them. On the streets, no women except for the British only. No other community women you saw. I'm talking of those days. So, when Baba came there in 1930, just before his first visit to the West, he told my parents that, he told my father that he should sell off this business. And he said, sell off the business, the house, everything, and get out of the city, Quetta, with his wife and children, and go and settle somewhere else and start life all over again. And this Baba tells him, you see, after my father had already established himself for 20 years or more, you see, and he was making good money, there was no reason for him to sell off the business or go away. We were all still, I mean, very young, in our teens, early teens, and we were still going to school. Whenever Baba says something, you see, he gives you an order or something, then he says it very casually, you see. He didn't tell them that you must sell off this business and you must leave. That time Baba said that you just sell off the business, the house, leave the city with your wife and children and go and settle down elsewhere. And Baba said, I'll see to everything. He'll have his nazar. And what else? And Baba said, you'll make a good profit. So, and our family was the only one who really loved Baba in that city. The Parsi, in those days, the Parsi community was very much against Baba. You see, nobody, they couldn't accept Baba as the saint or the Sadhguru, whatever. So, and they knew, in our, because we didn't have to hide Baba's picture. And we had it in the drawing room, we had it in our bed. We had Baba's pictures all over. And my uncle, when Baba first visited in 22, 23, he had taken lots of pictures of Baba. Baba had gone for a picnic, used to go to picnic to these lake areas. And my father says Baba used to, even there Baba used to climb. You know, it's a very hilly and mountainous district. So Baba used to climb up so many hills, and every day he'd go out with the men and climb up these hills. Baba loved to walk up the hills. Where was I?
You were talking about he told your father.
Yes. So you see, when my father, after that Baba left, and he went to Karachi, I think first he went to Persia, and from Persia again, he came back to Quetta, and from there he proceeded to Karachi, and from there Baba left for his first trip to England first. So my father and mother started thinking over what Baba told them, see, so, and they were telling the other friends that they would like to sell off the business or not. They all said, why do you want to listen to somebody who just tells you, you're such a prosperous person, and After you've established yourself so well into a town, why do you want to leave this? And why do you listen to this person who says that he is a sadhguru and a saint? And why do you want to do it? I mean, because you'll just ruin yourself. How can you go? I mean, you're not too young now to start life again into another strange place. Baba, Ramu, Mama, not you. So time went on, and they didn't take any, you know, because they were all alone. There was nobody to support them or to tell them, now you must do what Baba has told you. And we were kids, and we didn't end it. And even they became hesitant. Yes, but why should we? Baba hasn't given us a specific order or something. You know how our mind works, and you want to adjust it according to your likes and dislikes. Or to your way of thinking, you know, because maybe they never wanted this. And why should we do it when Baba has told you? But that was always harboring, the thought was there. And so time went, and maybe a year or so. And then one day, early in the morning, my mother wakes up, and she wakes up very frightened, and tells my father that I've had a dream. And she said, it is Baba who's coming, who's warning us. So, and she dreamt that she saw an old man in a green robe. And he comes and tells her that I've been waiting all this while for you to vacate Quetta. because I want you to leave the place with the family, because I want to destroy Quetta. And he says, leave. I've been waiting for you all to vacate it, you see. And so, when my mother woke up in the morning, she definitely felt it was Baba who's warning her. See? So she told my father that it was Baba who's warning us and we must take it seriously. Whatever happens, we must do what Baba has told us. So, then they started, you see, negotiating, wanting to sell off the business. And so when they wanted to sell the business now, there was nobody to buy it. So he had to sort of, you know, sell it off in bits or auction, sell off the things separately, and he lost a lot of money. The Parsi community was still insistent, and his other friends also. There were lots of Mohammedan friends, the Baluchis, you know, they lived in the community, so he had lots of these friends. So they also were still, why do you want to leave? Why? Anyway, these people were there long standing, so they were giving themselves the send off parties. So in the beginning, before starting all this, you see, my parents, because we shouldn't break up the school, you see, it was the end of the term. So they sent 3 or 4 of us down here to my aunt's place again, so that we could start schooling here. You see. Otherwise, we'd waste a whole year. So that way, myself and my brother and my other sisters, 3 or 4 of us, only the younger one stayed back with my mother, with my parents. And we came down here, and here we started schooling. So, and those people would still stay. So then my father felt very confident. He felt that this should be done. So whilst these people were persuading him not to leave, give up the place and not to go, my father said, why don't you all also join me and come away? I feel that. What Baba has said is quite true. I feel, you know, he felt very deep down inside him, he felt that now what Baba has said is quite true, and he must leave the place. So he was telling the friends, why don't you, I feel that you should also leave the place. Something is going to happen here and we must leave. So they all laughed, you know. Anyway, later my mother left the place with the younger ones and they all came down here. Then found a small house, you know, this bungalow where you're staying, opposite there is a small house. That's also where Baba stayed, with Mehra, Mani and all of them. There was a small cottage and they rented it and we all started living there. In the meantime, my father was trying to sell off the business, the house, the furniture and everything, and some things which didn't sell, you know, he brought a wagon load full here, because here too we needed some things to start life. And see, then my father would go to places, people owed him money, but nobody gave him any money. You see, the whole business in those days, if he had sold it at the time when Baba told him, he would have profited and made a lot of money on it. You know, suppose maybe 50,000 or 1 lakh in those days, it is equal to about 10 times more nowadays. You see, he didn't even get 5,000 rupees for it. He lost so much. And he couldn't collect any of his debts that people owed him money. He couldn't do it. Anyway, after a couple of months, after winding up everything, he came. He came to Ahmednagar. And that was in 1932. So when he came, naturally he didn't have anything. So just then, the Sarosh cinema was being built. It hadn't even started, but it was made into a first time a talkie picture coming into Ahmednagar. And there was no cinema house then, except for an Indian cinema house in the city. But this one was supposed to be showing all English pictures and a talkie. And so naturally, the army people would come because it was within their limits for them to come. So then Sarosh thought, and the other elders in the family, they thought this was a good opportunity to, make my father open a canteen here. So they gave him that business of the canteen. See, they built up the place, and then he started the canteen. So that was enough for him to support the family, but it wasn't enough for him to educate us. See, it was very difficult because well, as far as the schooling was concerned, it was all right because that was the cheap. But if we, in those days, there was no college in Nagar. No, college meaning university education. It wasn't here. In Pune too, there were very few, just one or two university schools. And I wanted to do medicine. Yes, that is the time when Baba told me, when I was 14, Baba told me that I should become a medical doctor. And that I always wanted to. So we had to go to Bombay for that. And then because I couldn't, there was no home, naturally I had to stay with relatives or with, at a hostel. That would be very expensive with board and lodging. Anyway, after, then my father started the business here. In the meantime, I think Baba must have returned. Or he didn't, I don't know. During that period, I don't remember seeing much of Baba, but I think because he was traveling so much to the West, coming and going back, and there was a time when Baba stayed in Nasik with all the women Mandli, also Mehra Mani, and Nehru's father had opened a motor shop, just like this one here in Nasik, and the whole family was staying there. So, and we started going to school here, and then I think after 1 year, maybe it was in 1934, May, that in those days we didn't have any radios. We had to depend on the newspaper or any news. And we heard that there was a terrific earthquake in Quetta, and 45,000 people were dead in one night. The earthquake was about 2 or 3 in the morning. And people didn't get a chance to come out of their houses, you know. It was so terrific. You see, there were so many people died. So many, must be more than 45,000. Because, you see, the friends I had in school, no one survived. Except one girl who was still living. Except, you know, out of a, I mean, a school of, say, 200, 300, whatever it was.
Did it hit mainly the Parsi community? Or
Parsi, everybody. There were Christian girls, there were European girls. But the section of the military area, because there were small houses, you know, bungalows, separate, they were not so badly damaged. But this part of the city area where there were upper stories, and also the area near the railway station, that was very badly affected. There was, amongst the Parsi community, so many died. There was a judge and his wife and his two children. Both the husband and the wife died. They were just buried and dead. And the two children escaped. There was a family, a mother and five daughters. All of, you know, they all died.